spells those things.
But in 1 John chapter 3, verse 1 says, "How great is the love of the Father that has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are." Now that's the kind of love I'm talking about. You know, the flowers will die, the candy will add pounds to our hips, and you know, the dinner will just pass away, but that's the kind of love that's everlasting. You know, when you think about it, we're God's Valentine all year long. Now today's lesson is the 5 love languages of children. Now this lesson is important because it's just another tool to help us to be able to raise godly and respectful, loving children. You know, God's given us the responsibility and the duty to raise godly offspring. This book it's just another tool to help us to be able to do that. The book also introduces the idea of a love tank. And, you know, sometimes when I think about a tank, I think about the tank in my car where you put fuel in. You know, that's what that love tank is in our children. And they need the premium fuel, not the low-grade stuff. They need the high-octane fuel. And that fuel is unconditional love. You know, it's not a love that's based on their performance or how they, you know, if they're behaving well or whatever. We're going to look at the first love language, and it's called physical touch. And if you can turn with me to Mark chapter 10.
Come on, Dad.
We're going to look at Jesus and the little children. Verse 13. People were bringing little children to Jesus to have them touched, but the disciples rebuked them. When Jesus saw this, he was indignant. He said to them, "Let the little children come to me, and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. I tell you the truth, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God is like a little child will never enter it." And he took the children in his arms, and he put his hands on them, and he blessed them. You know, Jesus wasn't bothered by little children. They didn't annoy him. He didn't want to send them away. He relished the opportunity to wrap them in his arms and touch them. You know, he showed his disciples and all the people around him that, you know, you got to be like this child to enter the kingdom of God. You know, studies indicate that many parents only touch their kids when they have to do the necessary things for them, like changing their clothes or giving them a bath or changing their diaper. And, you know, when I read that, it really saddened me. And it's just to have a precious gift from God and just to just go about it like and treat this child just like it's a drudgery. That really just kind of saddened me. And it made me think about a robot. It made me think about like how you just kind of like a robot is just programmed and designed to just do a certain thing in a robotic way, no love and no feelings. And then I thought about, are there robot moms out there, you know, who just parent like a robot, just programmed? And then in my mind, I can see this little cartoon that comes up, and there's this woman that comes up, and she's super godly mom. And, you know, she's clothed with strength and dignity. She has put on the full armor of God. She's ready for the day, you know, because she's, you know, she's just focused from her being clothed with Christ. And, you know, the super and super godly mom is not from her own strength. It's not anything. It's not kryptonite or any special thing like that. It's the Holy Spirit dwelling in her. And I just thought about the difference between the robot mom who's, you know, okay, my child is hungry. let me give him some dinner. You know, you dirty, let me put you in the bathtub. You know, as opposed to super godly mom who's like, she takes those opportunities for dinner to like to teach her children, you know what, God has provided this food for us. You know, God is the one that made this food. See this apple? It grew on a tree. God is so brilliant. You know, and you know, when she gives them a bath, the water is a teaching tool. It's not like just to get them clean, but she uses it to introduce God to them, to really understand God. The water becomes like they her children know that, okay, Jesus walked on water, you know, that Jesus, you know, is the living water, you know, and they're amazed by what God has done with water, you know, a simple basic thing that we all need and we all use every day. But there's a difference between how robot mom goes about her day and super godly mom does. And yeah. So, I mean, sometimes I do that. I get like little cartoons that pop in my mind. I have like imagery. Sometimes things just come into my mind that way. It seems that many parents are really unaware that, you know what, their children just need to be touched. Yeah. You know, they have a need to want to be close and warm. It's like the feeling that we want to be warm and hugged and taken care of by God. And it's just a physical way for us to express this love through physical touch with our children. You know, physical touch can be expressed through hugs and kisses, caresses, back rubs, you know, booty bumps, you know, all different kind of things. You know your child and their personality. And these are just a few ways, you know, to express physical love. You know, you can just go on ahead and ask your child, let me hug you. You know, just ask them if they want to be hugged or cuddled. You know, and then this is a good one too, like after you've disciplined your child, spanked them or whatever, you know, take some time afterwards to go back to them and cuddle them and love them and let them know that, you know what, you got this discipline because you were disobedient, not because I don't love you. And I know for me, and a lot of times when with my kids, I wasn't a disciple. And it was the discipline, but there was no coming back with the love afterwards. So then they get this image that this is who God is, a punisher, you know. So it's that. I think that's a really important one. And another way for physical touch is to call for a family group hug. You know, there may be occasions when somebody's sad or, you know, there's something to celebrate. Call the whole family together and just have everybody hug each other. And then, you know, you can practice holding hands during prayer times. Now, that's another way to express physical love. Now, our next love language is words of affirmation. This is the one that really convicted me the most because before I became a disciple and even after, I really had to rein in my tongue. You know, the tongue, the Bible says the tongue has the power of life and death. And before I was a disciple, I didn't realize that. In Matthew 12:36, it says, "But I tell you that men will have to give account on the day of judgment for every careless word they have spoken." You know, sisters, we just really, really do need to be careful with the words that are coming from our mouths. You know, we need to speak to our children with purpose and focus. You know, look at what they need and speak that to them. Ephesians 4:29 says, "Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen." You know, it's every word that comes out of our mouth in a faithful, instructive way is beneficial to our children. I know a lot of times being a Navy mom and not a Christian, not like a pagan, not even wanting to follow God, I didn't have any of these principles with my children. And just the things that would come out of my mouth, the things that I would say to them, really damaged their spirits. But thank God that, you know, we have the opportunity to repent and start over. And you know, God will heal those wounds in the past. You know, the Bible says that we need to have control over our tongues, whether we're talking to our children or talking to others about our children. Proverbs 18:21 says the tongue has the power of life and death. And we don't want to kill our children's spirits. Okay, the words of affirmation is expressed in four different ways. So the words of affirmation is four different ways you can express it. It's through words of affection and endearment, like, honey, I just love you. Or in words of praise. Recently this week, my grandson JoJo came to me and he took my hand and he's like, Grandma, come here, I want to show you something. And I was like, okay. So he leads me through the house and we're headed to the bathroom. And I'm like, I don't know if I want to see what he's excited about. But anyway, we go in and he says, Grandma, look, I didn't pee on the toilet seat. I didn't pee on the floor. I didn't pee on the wall. And I didn't pee in the trash can. He said, JoJo, I am so proud. But he was so proud because he'd accomplished this. And so, you know, I had to reward him with these words of praise, you know. Another way to express words of affirmation is through words of encouragement. Like in Proverbs 16:24, pleasant words are a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and healing to the bones. And then Proverbs 119, verse 103, it reads, how sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey in my mouth. You know, when I think about it, my Bible is like a box of chocolates. You know, the word of God needs to be sweet to us. And, you know, and we need to express how good the Bible is, you know, to our children. You know, so that they know, like, wow, you know, I want to read my Bible every day and live it. Another way, excuse me, to express words of affirmation is through words of guidance. In Proverbs 16:23, it says, a wise man's heart guides his mouth and his lips promote instruction. You know, that's as mothers, that's what we need to be doing. We've got to instruct our children in the way of the Lord. It's great. I'm just looking at baby right there, and you know, you just love them, you want to just kiss them and cuddle them, but it has to go more than that, you know, instilling a deep love of God in our children. Now, some ways to express this love is to call your kid at home. You know, you're at work or whatever, and you just think about them. Give them a call. Say, you know what, honey, I was thinking about you, and I want to let you know that I love you. Now, this is a good one for crafty moms, which I'm not. Get a big old pickle jar and decorate it together with your child, and make it the encouragement, jar. And then they can drop notes in back and forth. The next love language is quality time. Use all of your day to talk about God. And Deuteronomy, and I won't read it. It just talks about when you get up, when you go to sleep, when you're walking on the road, you know, talk about Jesus. You know, quality time is expressed by focused and uninterrupted attention to your child. And it's the greatest gift of presence that we can give our children. And now these are a few ways that you can express quality time. Have your child tell you a couple places they like to go, you know, and then you just surprise them every once in a while by taking them to one of those places. Schedule a date. Now, this is what my husband used to do with the girls sometimes, is have a date with them, you know, and then I would have dates with my son. Now, the next love language is gifts. Giving and receiving gifts is a universal phenomenon. The word, yeah, everybody understands that language. The English word for gift comes from a Greek word, charis, which means grace or undeserved gift. You know, Ephesians 2:8 says, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. It is not from yourselves. It is a gift of God." And when I think about that, you know, God has given us the gift of salvation. You know, are you preparing your child to receive the gift of salvation? Are we sharing with them that God's desire to save them, to rescue them, and to protect them? A true gift is not a payment rendered for services, you know, for services rendered, but instead it's an expression of love freely given. And, you know, that's just what God does. He freely gives love to us. You can select gifts. These are ways. You can select gifts for your child appropriate to what their interests are. You can look for personalized gifts. I know my granddaughter loves gifts that has her name on it, which is hard to find, though. Oh. Micah. But she likes to have something with her name on it. The last the last one is acts of service. I'm sorry. In Luke 14, just turn there with me quickly. Verse 12 through 14.
Come on, Dad.
It says, "Then Jesus said to his hosts, when you give a luncheon or dinner, do not invite your friends or brothers or relatives or your rich neighbors. If you do, they will invite you back, and so you will be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind, and you will be blessed. Although they cannot repay you, you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous." You know, with acts of service, you know, we need to be teaching our children to mature and become mature adults and who serve others with acts of service. You know, in our church, we have Hope and Church in Action, and those are ways that we can help them with acts of service. I just want to speed through this. My granddaughter, recently when I went to Philly to take care of my granddaughters when my daughter was sick in the hospital, as I was packing, I was thinking about ways that I could encourage them. And for Micah, I packed some pink nail polish. And for Devin, I packed a Bible storybook. And because Micah is a girly girl, super, super girly girl. And every time she comes to visit, we use this nail polish that she and I bought together, and she was so excited that I had remembered to bring this nail polish, you know, and that because her one of her love languages is acts of service. Devin is a voracious reader. She loves to read, and so she just loves to be cuddled and read to, and you know, and her love language is quality time. Now here's a few ways to observe or to determine what your child's love language is. Just watch them. Look how they express love to you, you know, and then look at how they express love to others. And listen to what your child requests a lot, you know, what they ask for from you. That's a way to determine. And then another way to determine is to give them two options. Like, I'll take you bowling, or I'll buy you a new pair of shoes. You know, then you can determine what their love language is by what they choose. Just a note to moms with infants and preschool children, it's important to fill their love tanks with all the languages. You just have to speak all the languages. You have to become multilingual, in a sense. You know, because it's hard to determine because they change quite a lot as they grow. One of the other things, like, in conclusion, now that we've been introduced to five ways to communicate love with our children and speak a language that their heart understands, it's just important to focus on, you know, how much it gives us this insight for their hearts for God, and it helps us to display God's love to them. The book, The Five Love Languages of Children, is just one of the ways that we can communicate love with in our relationships with the children. Of course, one of the greatest tools we have is the power that is unleashed in the daily use of the Bible in our own personal relationship with God. You know, Satan is waging a war for the hearts of our children. Are we dressed in the full armor? You know, just read Ephesians 6. And in Psalms 112, verses 1 and 2, it reads, "Praise the Lord. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who finds great delight in his commands. His children will be mighty in the land. The generation of the upright will be blessed." You know, that's a promise from God. You know, if we delight in his commands, our children will be a blessed generation. And as I close out, I just want to, like I said, I was a visual person. So ways to remember this lesson is write your hand. Just look at your hand. We all, most of us have like 5 digits. I do. So with me, physical touch, words of affirmation, quality time, gifts, and acts of service. Thank you for letting me share.
We're going to have a panel now for a little while, so if the panel members can start walking forward, Roxanne and Man are going to put the chairs up. But thank you so much, Deb.
Oh, thank you.
We're going to have Deb's lesson online, and we're also going to have notes up there from her lesson for anything that she wasn't able to get through. You did a great job. Deb is in charge of getting the door prizes. But we wanted to get you a gift, little did you know, just to say thank you. So here you go.
Thank you.
She's also going to be on our panel. So. All right.
Let's come together.
Because my 3-year-old is at this, you know, you should do it for me, you should give it to me, it should, I don't understand why you're not, but I want it now. That's what she says, but I want it now. Mm-hmm. And so, like, there are times where she'll say, can you go get my, whatever, her blanket upstairs, whatever, you know, like, there's times where I feel like, where's the, with a 3-year-old, you know, where's the line of serving her and feeding this me, you should do it for me stage of a 3-year-old. You know, where do you find the balance in that? Because I want to serve her and I want her to see serving, but I don't want her to be pushy and you should do it for me because I asked you. You know, so I'm trying to have a really good balance with that.
Lesson that I kind of skipped through because of time, but yeah, I defer to the panel.
I'm thinking about wise women. You're at least like, what was the lesson?
Did it say in the book?
Well, you don't remember.
Oh, but what it said was that, you know, there has to be a balance, like you said, you know, you've got to give to them, you know, just express this love to them because that's the love language that they speak. But there has to be a balance, like you said, you have to figure out what the balance is with your child because you don't want her, like you said, to be self-centered and selfish and it's all about me. You know, there are times when you can ask her, like, if you see a trend where it's like, it's all about me, then you nip it in the bud. But if it's a time when she you really want to express this to her to show her God's love, I mean, it is. It's just up to you knowing your particular child, because there may be times when she wants to just manipulate you, you know, but you've got to be in tune with her. I mean, I can't give you like any practicals like how to do that. You're aware of it, which is a good thing, you know, so she's not using it as a tool for you to be a puppet.
Yeah.
I think we have to look at how often is she saying this, mm-hmm. and what tone of voice she's saying
this. That's a good point. That's a good
one. And I just have to, I mean, like if they're needy, they're a little sick or something, I mean, it's one thing, but I can rarely, now again, all kids are different, but I rarely remember my kids like, can you go get something? Like, unless it was something they physically couldn't get themselves. Like, that's one thing, or they needed help, or they really wanted something special to eat, which they knew they couldn't do, but to go get something that they just wanted, like from their room, I rarely remember that. And so I think, yeah, I don't know. I would super curtail that because then that makes you like the go. I don't know.
Well, I don't, yeah. And that's it. I'm like, oh yeah. My gosh, my scars are another issue. You can certainly go get it.
I would inquire. I would ask deeper questions. I'm like, why is it that you want mommy to go get it? Why are you asking me? To find out like why is she like so demanding in that area, so that she's like. Like making you, like honestly, I would ask my children to help me quite often because I was working full time and I needed help. And sometimes they were just my little helpers, so they learned those acts of service helping me, and therefore they learned those acts of service even as they're older to go help someone else. Like she went, I just say example, Elena went to see Deb Stratton the other day, and she pulled up in the driveway and she had groceries. And just like almost all of you guys are adults, if you saw someone bringing in groceries, you'd help them. But I don't know that all kids would necessarily do that. But so that's their second nature. And so I would ask deeper, like, why do you want mom to go do these things? Like, why is that so much her character to give you, like, those little commands? Can you go get this? Can you go do that?
Is she, how many children do you have?
Two. Two and a 3 year old.
Do you think that she's competing with the other, like, for attention? Sometimes they do that, too. Mm-hmm. Like, I need mommy, and...
Yeah, maybe sometimes.
Yeah. I would just sort of pick up on those things as maybe needing to have, like, special time just with her, and not the other one around at all. Because I know that my... kids were a little more needy when I didn't give them like that quality time, mm-hmm. and so they would act out more, or they would, do things that would require me to give them attention, whether it was negative or positive.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
So it's just something to think about.
Yeah, and that's her love language. It's quality time.
So. Yeah. Right. Mm-hmm. Any other questions?
Mm-hmm. Sure, there is. Okay. Yeah, as Deanna, and as they get older. And don't give back as much. And how do you Colleen and I was just talking with and I was looking at the list for my teenager because my 6-year-old seems to be pretty easy, but the teenager it's really hard. So as how do you do that as they get older and less like loving your enemy in some ways? You know what I'm saying? Okay.
Yeah. I think you have to figure out their love language. I know Daniel, like, there was a point when he was a preteen, like, he didn't want all the cuddles and the right. anymore. And that was very hurtful. Oh, gosh. So I just told him, I said, you have to give me a hug every day. It's like, so we made, like, this agreement as it was like something like he didn't want to be like a little boy anymore. Mm-hmm. And he was trying to get past that. Mm-hmm. That's just sort of his where he was at. But I know that he wanted it, and even he told me he's like, you don't need to come to the school program like in 5th or 6th grade. But I went up there anyway, and of course, and he's like, I can see he was like. Oh, like so they'll say those things, but they really still need you in their life, and they still want that connection. And you have to figure out what is the way that best connect with them.
on, and we played games together. And he seemed to like be a lot more softer and connecting to me in that way. So each of them have a different, I think, way that you can connect. But we always had dinner together at the dinner table, and we always opened up and talked and shared at dinner time. That was important, kind of connection for the whole family. And then at, you know, at night we always had some words to say. And I don't know how, there's a time when they get older that you're not quite as like sitting by the bedside, but you know, you still have some evening time to connect with them. The girls love to go shopping, you know, to figure out what they best can do.
Can I add to that one real quick before we move on? Is that okay? I was just thinking, just because, you know, he's older and that is hard. And I can remember Daniel at this stage, because Daniel and Tanner are very different in those things, and I can remember Jamie and I talking about it. But Colby is very loving, but Tanner wanted more of the hugs than Colby did, or does. But he still, Colby knows that those hugs mean a lot to me, so he gives those to me. But then what I do is I find out, maybe you can find out for Nate, like, or just start doing little things for him, like writing him little notes where he might flip open something he uses all the time or turn over and you've written him a little note, some kind of encouragement, or like, cooking his favorite thing, whatever, for dinner and putting on his plate, "This was just for you. Wanted to let you know how much I'm thinking about you." So because somehow now that he's needing that love, but he doesn't all know how to give it, and he doesn't know how to receive it. And so by you saying that makes you feel good, you're almost trying to teach him, kind of like Jean said that she demanded those kisses. Like that, all, it also continues to teach them. It's almost introducing that new food that you know that they're going to like if they just kind of keep trying it. We don't give up on that, yeah, or whatever. And so I think the same thing, the love towards you, and then you do little things that encourage him and show him love.
Renee? Caleb will be 8 months next week, and he's just throwing these fits, you know, where he'll throw himself back and wave in his arms, not because I get something or if I don't pick him up. And, you know, sometimes I'm like, Caleb, like, I'll hold his hands down. I'm like, Caleb, no, you know, you're not going to throw fit to mom. Like, I don't really know how to discipline him at this age, or, you know, when do you start? Because it's getting out of control where he wants something at the grocery store, he almost threw himself out of the car over a cup. And I'm like, you're only 7.5 months old. You know, but he just started this the last 2 or 3 weeks maybe. So, and I tried talking to him calmly, like, okay, Caleb, we're going to get your diaper changed, you're not going to yell, not, like, but, you know, can you squirt him with a water bottle? And he's like,
I have an 8-month-old grandson a couple weeks ahead of Caleb, and we got this question about a month ago.
Oh,
on Skype and on the phone.
Oh.
And changing diaper, and he's arcing his back and flipping over.
Yeah.
And he's like, what do we do? And I said, well, you picture him in your mind's eye at 15.
Yeah.
Arcing,
yeah,
his back, oh, and yeah, screaming, right, at you, oh, and then you're like, okay, I'm going to take care of it now, so that when he's 15, he's not doing this. And what we did with our boys, and I don't know how everyone in this room feels about it, but we just patted his hand. It wasn't a spanking or a beat down or anything. We're like, no, no. And you totally change your tone and your stance. And like Deborah shared earlier, after you finish changing the diaper, then you play and have fun and all, but there will be no arcing out of the grocery cart.
It gets them more angry when I've done that.
Yeah, well, you know, very strong will. Yes. Picture him at 15 saying, I'm taking these keys, and I don't care what you think. And you're like, oh, no. Picture that. When he's 10 or 12, he'll be taller than you, he'll outweigh you,
and he'll start cutting hair everywhere. What a rainy day now. And that's the first, to me, that is the very first signals of being rebellious.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. So you're like, no, he gets angry. No. No. And he will not throw a fit when I discipline you. It's the whole follow.
All right. In order of them.
Okay, the one that was before, the little one, I have the opposite problem with my oldest. My kids are very, very lovey-dovey, always want hugs and kisses, always want to hold on, hang on to mommy. But my oldest, my 9-year-old, is to the point where he won't let me go. And he is constantly on me, and I know that he needs a little more one-on-one attention, and we just moved here, so we're trying to work out schedule time so I can take him out on the date again, because he loved his date last time we went on one. But it's so much now that I have to tell him, no, I cannot hold, cannot hug you right this minute. I'm doing something. I cannot hold your hand right this minute. I'm doing something. Mm-hmm. And he's 9, and he's starting to get into that preteen attitude thing. And if he doesn't get his lovey-dovey time, he starts copying an attitude with me. And it's not like that with anybody else. He'll let all of his friends at school walk all over him. But when it comes to the adult figures in his life, like me or daddy or babysitters occasionally, he starts copying an attitude with us. Like he's trying to show us that he's the real man, even though he'll let everybody else walk all over him. But I've noticed that he seems to be worse when I don't, when I have to tell him no. I have to tell him I cannot cuddle with you right now. I have to do this. Mm-hmm. And he gets really upset about it, and I don't know how to rein him in, I guess. My little two will just, because they're kind of, as soon as they see me have an opening, he'll like dive in on me. But.
Well, you just moved?
Yeah.
We moved 21 times in 25 years.
Wow.
With 3 boys. And I think that probably the move has a lot to do with it emotionally. He's looking for something from you that he's not getting at school, which is good. You know, we want to be the most influential people over our kids. But with boys, there comes a time where you kind of have to almost push them towards dad. More dad time, more man time, you know, more basketball shooting, learning how to shave, that kind of thing. And kind of pushing him towards being with dad. For me personally, I think that his dad needs to step in and just start teaching him, here's what it means to be a man. It's not having an attitude. It is serving, and it is taking care of mom. But when mom's busy, rather than always wanting to be the center of attention, you help her and learn to serve her. So I think family devotionals, I'm a huge proponent of family devotionals. And not just on Monday nights, but as much as you possibly can. And role acting and pretending skits, role reversal, those things are very influential at that age.
I'll be honest, I'm still very, very new at this. I've only started becoming a disciple since like August.
Okay.
And so I'm still not exactly sure how to teach my children.
Okay.
I know that, especially him, my oldest, is very, very interested in the Bible and the Bible studies. I just don't know how to bring that into, how to take what I'm learning and bring it to him. I do my best, but I'm still so new that he's got so many questions I have no idea how to answer.
Okay. Yeah, hooking up with another family, whoever's in your Bible talk that has children, or anybody in this room, like the Robinses have kids that are close to your son's age, and they are amazing. I mean, Brian has like, you know, 4 stages and all these skits in there.
Bring him in a little bit, but
they are amazing at doing family devotionals. And I know for us, even now, we get with younger families and just to help them learn how to do the family devos. So, yeah, I think just anybody in the room, like the Hearst, the Woodhams, they're all these guys, so creative. And you can learn so much, and I think in your midst group, it might be really a good idea
to have some of the people just write down like their favorite family devos and make a little, make like a little notebook or something, and then we can share, you know, what we've. I mean, we've had some really bad ones. We've had some that the kids are like, I'm sorry.
There is a. We just bought one of VeggieTales family devotional book. I just picked up it. This is really, really good. That Lifeway Christian that has like family activity and crafts, and that's good. But at 10:15, we're supposed to stop now and break, so we can break now for our group, or we can go with the panel maybe for 10 more minutes and shorten our groups for 10 minutes. Does anybody have? I think that this is just such a great opportunity to meet with the panel. So why don't we just go ahead and elongate this for about 10 more minutes, and we'll still have. We'll go with the panel for until 10:30, and then we'll break into our mentor groups. But when we break, we'll just break really quickly, and we'll still have a full half an hour within our groups. Okay.
All right. Sounds good.
Okay.
Bella was kind of at a point where she just was screaming and crying really loud whenever she got upset. Gina and I had a really good conversation about training her, and so I've been working really hard to train her to talk to me when she's getting emotional about something or something's going on. And that's going well, because now she'll go, I'm sad, or I'm angry, or, you know, which is really good. I mean, she still cries sometimes, but she's still very sensitive. But now in the last couple of weeks, what she's started to do is say, I'm sad, and then run and hide. Or I'm angry, and then run and hide. And so I'm just wondering if you guys have any thoughts on why she might be running to hide, and how to handle that, or, you know, what to do about that.
Do you think she's needing just a little bit of affirmation? Like, when she's sad, what do you do?
When she's sad, well, we talk about, you know, why is she sad, or, you know, and then sometimes we'll pray, especially if she's angry, we'll pray through it, and then she... You know, we deal with whatever the anger situation. If she's angry with someone, we'll go talk it through with that person after we've prayed about it. I mean, she'll, when she needs affirmation, she will ask for it. She'll say, Mommy, talk to me about me. You know?
Wow.
She'll be three next month. So, but yeah, just this, normally she's really, you know, expressive about what she needs, but lately she's just running to hide, and we just don't know why. No, she's like, she doesn't want to, like, specific places.
Find her and play hide and seek or something? No, I mean, it's like a real hide, like she doesn't want to be talked to, or is it like...
Like, she goes to, there's this one place next to our fireplace, and she'll go and she'll sit there, and then we'll be like, okay, where'd she go? Oh, so she's in her spot. Bella, why are you there? I'm sad. Or then there's another place upstairs, she'll go hide behind a curtain. So she really has, like, these just two spots that when she's sad or angry, sometimes she'll run and hide in those two spots.
I just want you to hold her. I don't
know. Okay.
I mean, you know, just to me it seems like she wants some time just to be held. And sometimes, you know, I know when I'm sad or upset, I just like, just want somebody to be there.
Go get your girlfriend.
I don't want you to fix it. I don't want, you know, just explain it or whatever. I just need sort of some comfort time or something, you know. I just see that.
Yeah, and she just may be getting in touch with what her emotions are, because you just taught her how to express what her emotions, and they may just be foreign to her, you know, like feeling the feelings and not knowing how to deal with them. Yeah, so maybe just finding a way to help her to deal with you know, what she's feeling. You don't have to run and hide.
Thank you.
Oh, I was just going to say something for that. Little girl, you can do role playing. I mean, even my boys do role playing. We have a little dollhouse with little people, and we'll do role playing and like how they feel and what's wrong with their emotions. And I'm willing to bet that she'd be more than happy. So when she's feeling angry, you can have your little dolls and kind of reenact it, and she may very easily say, "Well, I'm sad," and she may actually show that she's going to go and hide, and her she's going to take her little doll and go and hide by the fireplace or something. And act something else. You could try that too, because I mean, sometimes that's what we try to do with our boys.
I have a question about spanking. My son is 7 years old. He rarely gets spanked. It's every once in a while. He just recently got a spank, and we have this wooden spoon that I was taught about. I was taught years ago about. It's called Mr. Helpful. That spoon is only for spanking, and you know, it's only when something's serious. You know, for something serious. So I told him he would get a spank for his punishment. He knew why he was going to get it, and he asked me how many spankings. I told him because it had been a few times that we had warned him he was going to get 3 spankings. I don't have this perfected, so, you know, any advice with that? And then, so he cried before the spanking, and I spanked him the 3 times, and then he cried after. And then afterwards, I was torn on whether or not I should hug him at that moment, or should I leave him alone, but I kind of had felt like I wanted to hug him after, because he had already cried before. He cried after, and he's like, "My hiney hurts," and I just feel his hiney, a little red mark, and so I just hugged him, but I was torn. I'm like, should I have left him for a little while, which was really hard for me to do, or should I hug him immediately after?
Does he have, do you think he has, like, godly sorrow, or he's just trying to get sympathy?
I think he was just, he knew he had done something wrong. He said he felt bad about it. You know, he did express that. He had felt bad for what he had done. It was basically what we punished him for, what I spanked him for, is because we told him multiple times not to run in church or on the stage or anywhere that he's supposed to be walking and behaving while we're here. And we've had to tell him multiple times. And even other members in the church have had to tell him things. And so we told him, you know, Joseph, we've already told you so many times, and you're not getting it. You know, we've punished him, taken things from him, so then this time we told him you're going to get a spank.
Well, sometimes I'm like, I'll be back, you know, just so they know you're going to come back, and you're going to talk to them and resolve it all completely. But, you know.
You want them to get it. They're going to be okay, I promise. I promise very much. Now, out of all my children, Colby got the most spankings.
Yeah.
And he has this pink paddle, and it's a good size, which to me, I'll just tell you my little thing about the spankings, because I've helped many people with the spankings. It's the sting effect instead of, like, sometimes to me, the smaller the thing, the skinnier it would, like, bruise more, and the paddle being wider would just sting. And this paddle has been passed on right now. Someone else is using it. But Colby said he wants his paddle back. And that just, and you could talk to him. And really, if any of my children, if you ever want to talk to him about their spankings or whatever, and I mean, he'd be the first to say he knew he needed them.
He does.
And he did the whole drama act. We have these mirrors in the bedroom. And he would look at himself in the mirror and cry and cry and say, "I got to go." He'd always make himself have to go to the bathroom. And I'd say, "Hurry up." Sorry, you know, because by then, you know, they know what they're doing. And so, anyway, and then he'd look, I said, "Quit looking at yourself in the mirror." And, you know, we had a whole little process, and he'd get his spanking, and he'd go wash his face, and I'd give him some time, and then I'd go back, and I'm like, "So why did you get the spanking?" And hold my nose, and then we'd hug and kiss, and sometimes we'd even pray, depending upon how detrimental it was, and especially if lying was involved or whatever. So I just promise they won't die from the spanking, and they'll feel very secure. And like I say, Colby wants his paddle back, and Stephanie finishes because he wants it for his children.
It is. Jared and our family got nose axes, and we had multiple spanking spoons. Did you hide them? And all that was funny, but what we did was after they got a spank, we prayed.
Right.
Every time. And I would pray first, or Bill would pray first. And just really thank God for how He always takes care of us and disciplines us because He loves us. He's given us this, that, and the other, whatever, you know. And then the child would pray, and I tried to teach them to apologize in their prayer and really be honest in their prayer, like, I didn't like this spank, I don't want this spank. But I know that I hurt my mom, and that ultimately hurts God. You're teaching them that He's the ultimate authority, not necessarily with the spanking spoon, but He loves them, and that's why He wants to draw them close. And then we play. I mean, spanking, sometimes I didn't spank them because it just took so long.
It does.
And I didn't have it, and that was not good. It
takes a lot of energy.
But after we prayed, then we would play. We'd play a board game or a video game or something like that. So we would know full circle, you messed up. We all mess up.
Right.
God still loves you. I still love you. Got your blicks. Now let's have fun.
Right.
And it's the whole thing.
I personally don't like the wooden spoon. Somebody told me that years ago. I'm like, that's because I think that
can breathe.
Yeah, I think it can be damaging. But those plastic spatulas that you flip pancakes with that are flippy, you know, that's the sting thing, and it's just a little slap, you know. But I don't know. But I do know people have told me, oh, the wooden spoon. I'm like, I've broken wooden spoon.
One more, Kendra?
I have a question. When your child really likes physical touch, I have a child that we have to teach him more boundaries, and I guess, like, where do you draw the best? Like, as soon as they see any kind of skin, they're like, ah! Or even their brother, like, if they're taking a bath, he's just very touchy-feely, and I'm like, where is he, you know? My concern is, like, okay, if he goes out in public and somebody doesn't know, they might think he's being abused or something. It's just, I'm like, did I nurse him too long? You know, I'm like, he's just very physical, and I don't know if anybody just had boys, if you had that. Like, I've had some women tell me, oh, my son was like that. He was just like all the time, you know. But I'm just kind of like, where do you draw the boundaries or help them to understand when it's not okay? Like, if it's not just you, like, if somebody will come over and they're like, hi, you know, like, rubbing all on them, and the people like, get away from me, you know. It's just kind of like, I mean, he's very affectionate, but it's like, okay, there's a boundary, and you can't do that. And, like, trying to teach him that, like, do I, you know, if he's not listening, do I spank him, or just keep reinforcing it? Or, because I don't want him to do that and somebody reciprocates and we have another problem, you know what I'm saying? But he's just very physical, and sometimes it's inappropriate, like, you know, not with a person he doesn't know, or just
a visitor.
Yeah.
And by the hug.
Does that make sense? Very touchy-feely.
You just have to teach them the inappropriate zones. Mm-hmm. Like, no, don't touch you right here.
I told them, like, okay, this is people's bodies, you know, this is their personal space. You give people hugs that we know, you know, but he's still very...
Do you let him still touch you in those places?
No. I'm like, okay, mommy, you know, I'm hugging him.
Why don't you do, like, some, you know, like, the whole, like, you know, family devotionals on, you know, hugs and... Do that. Somebody's at the door. Let's go. Mm-hmm. You know, we practice our family devotional. Just keep reinforcing what's right and what's wrong. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah, even like, I guess if he sees any commercial, like if a woman has just like a tank top on, he's like, they're naked. Everything's naked. And I'm like, okay, they're not naked. So he's just really like, okay, and I don't want to overreact. You know, I don't want to overreact. I mean, we're not doing stuff in front of him. You know what I'm saying? It's not. I'm just saying, I don't know where he's getting, you know, I don't know if that's something that some boys are just more like in tune to. Physical?
Or how old is he?
Yeah,
you
have three. Yeah. So I didn't know if that was something that other moms and boys had to deal with.
Thank you so much, Aaron, for all your questions. I want to thank the mentors.